law nerds. Welcome to another episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewired.News podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that has seriously eaten way too much lox and bagels over the last several days. I'm talking like a half a dozen bagels. I'm Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclo. Rewire.news is dedicated to bringing you the best reproductive rights and social justice news, commentary, and analysis on the web, and the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission, so a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
Yes, indeed. Thank you and welcome. And hey, Jess, I have a question for you.
What's that?
So did you know that in many cities and states, it is perfectly okay for a bunch of people to cosplay as doctors, open a quote-unquote pregnancy healthcare center, trick people into becoming clients of their quote-unquote healthcare center, and then lie to them about almost everything, including stuff relating to their medical situation, to their health, and to the fact that the people running this quote-unquote healthcare center are not actually doctors? Did you know that that was perfectly okay in some states?
I mean, I did, but it's really unbelievable.
It really is. It's truly unbelievable. And what bugs me more is that there are so-called pro-lifers that are in favor of these fake doctors lying to pregnant people, even if it endangers the life of the fetus or the mother, and they are supposed to be all about, you know, fetus enthusiasm. It's not exactly pro-life of them, wouldn't you say?
It's definitely not very enthusiastic of the fetus either.
It's definitely not. So today we're going to talk about a case that could affect whether or not these fake pregnancy healthcare centers can lie to you and give you bad and potentially fatal advice without telling you two things. Number one, that they are not licensed, if they are indeed not licensed. And number two, that the state of California offers a full array of reproductive healthcare services, including low-cost abortions. The name of that case is National Institute of Family Life Advocates, or NIFLA, v. Becerra. Now, a good ruling in this case could have a domino effect, and that's really what we want here. We want other cities and states to enact identical ordinances to the California one, and this would mean that more than 2,500 CPCs, that stands for Crisis Pregnancy Centers, more than 2,500 CPCs nationwide would actually be forced to tell the truth that they are not reproductive healthcare clinics and that they are not doctors.
Meanwhile, a bad ruling would have far-reaching consequences too, including giving those shops a license to lie to patients as part of an explicitly anti-choice political agenda. We'll tell you all about the clinics fighting for the right to lie to patients and the legal case that might give them the right to do so after this break.
So Jess, imagine you just found out that you're pregnant and you don't know what to do. Let's say you're 22 years old, you're poor, and you're scared. You've decided to get an abortion. What's the first thing that you're likely to do?
Well, after I'd probably collected myself and gotten to the point where my hands were not shaking enough that I could work my phone, I'd probably try to find a Planned Parenthood or an abortion clinic, someplace that I could get some information and some services from. So I guess I'd start with Google.
Yeah, and that's a reasonable thing to say. In fact, most people would start with Google or Bing if you're into Bing. Who's into Bing? No one's into Bing. But the problem with this is that anti-choicers are gaming Google. They're actually using Google's advertising system in such a way that allows them to present themselves as something other than what they are. So that means they are using what's called pay-per-click. And in fact, there are some clinics in California that pay $18,000 a month to Google for this pay-per-click service. And what it does is that if you are on Google and you type in certain words like abortion or pregnant, it makes sure that the search results for these fake clinics come up first. So they will come up before you even see a listing for Planned Parenthood. Some of these clinics will use the same acronym as Planned Parenthood. So let's say they'll call themselves something like People for Pregnancy. And so they'll use the PP acronym, and then that will confuse potential clients into thinking that they are affiliated with Planned Parenthood in some way. Other things they do, they have a specific clinic location strategy so that they will actually erect these clinics either across the street from a Planned Parenthood or next door to a Planned Parenthood, or when Planned Parenthoods are forced to close because states are trying to regulate abortion clinics out of existence, these fake pregnancy centers will actually open up in the locale where the Planned Parenthood used to be. So the chances are on Google, you're going to stumble across a CPC before you stumble across an abortion clinic. And if you happen to just be wandering around the neighborhood, you're likely to be confused and lured into a CPC as opposed to the abortion clinic or the Planned Parenthood that you intended to go to. It's purposeful. The CPCs target young and vulnerable women. They target women of color, black women. You know, anti-choicers love to scream about black genocide. So they erect billboards in black neighborhoods to prevent black women from perpetrating a genocide against their own people.
So what you're telling me is that if I'm young, pregnant, and poor and looking for help, that these CPCs are targeting me. They're gaming the system and also making it more likely than not that if I'm looking for reproductive health care, I'm going to come into one of their shops first.
Precisely.
Okay, so what are these crisis pregnancy center outfits exactly?
So the CPCs are also called limited service pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers. They're basically anti-choice nonprofit organizations that provide counseling and limited pregnancy services to pregnant people. And by limited, I mean they don't provide abortions and they don't provide contraception. And they do this free of charge. So they think that they're providing a service to the community by, you know, lying and tricking people into coming there and then refusing to serve them abortion services if they are looking for them. A lot of these CPCs are backed by Christian foundations, and the big three are CareNet, Heartbeat International, and NIFLA, which is the plaintiff in this case, the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. CPCs are usually staffed by anti-choice activists or advocates, not doctors. These activists discourage patients from having abortions by lying to women about their options. A lot of investigations that California did, and indeed that legislatures around the country have done, have shown that CPCs engage in systematic deceptive tactics in order to convince women to, for example, remain pregnant with false promises of financial aid and housing. They will tell a pregnant woman that that pregnancy is less far along than it is, so that if the person is seeking an abortion or is thinking about getting an abortion, they're going to try to delay that process so that the window of their time period during which they can get an abortion dissolves, forcing them into trying to find a later abortion. And there are a lot of states that don't have that capacity, and a lot of people can't afford to fly to one of the states that do. A lot of times these CPCs will say that they offer abortion options in their advertising. They explicitly say, we offer abortion options, when their real option is don't have an abortion. That's the only option they give you. They dress like doctors, so if you walk into one of these CPCs, you're going to find people dressed in lab coats, holding clipboards, you know, really hamming it up as if they're actual doctors when they're not. And what's frustrating is that as states are clamoring to regulate abortion clinics out of existence, they're actually pouring money into these fake clinics. So Rewire.news reported that this year, anti-choice clinics will receive $40.5 million, million taxpayer dollars. That's 14 states, $40.5 million. That's ridiculous. And what's even more ridiculous is that some of this money is actually going to be siphoned away from services that would otherwise go to help vulnerable people, the same kinds of vulnerable people that these CPCs are targeting. So some of this money is going to come from the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. And that just blows my mind. It blows my mind the lengths to which these CPCs will go to deceive and to lie, and the lengths to which governments seem to be willing to fund them.
It's really disgusting that it's such a big business model for the Christian right, too. I mean, the idea that we have the government funneling in over $40 million, and that's just not, I mean, that's in a handful of states, 14 states, you know, and that's money that's absolutely being taken away for actual support and instead being used to fund a business model that is built on a web of lies and deceptions. It's really disgusting. So what happens to people? What happens to me, Imani, if I were to end up at a CPC?
Well, you're not going to be given any information about abortion or contraception. You're going to be either convinced to maintain the pregnancy or you're going to be pushed towards adoption. And this is one of the things that these CPCs and anti-choicers in general like to tout a lot. You know, they like to say, well, even if you don't want to raise a child or you don't have the money to raise a child or for whatever reason you just don't want to do it, why not put that child up for adoption? But as I said previously, the people that they are targeting for these CPCs tend to be young women of color. And those aren't the kinds of babies that people want to adopt. There's not a huge market for black and brown babies. There is a huge market for white babies. So this idea that CPCs are lying to women of color, telling them, oh, that their baby might get adopted, when really their baby's going to be funneled into the system and may not stand a chance, it's really disturbing. Other things that happen to you when you go into a CPC. Let's see. You're not going to be met by any actual trained medical staff, even if you end up getting an ultrasound at a CPC. And that's one of the main things that they offer, because they like to show you a picture of the sonogram and humanize it and then make you feel bad for not following your maternal instincts. So even if you get an ultrasound, the person who's giving you an ultrasound is likely unlicensed and doesn't know what they're doing. They will offer prenatal care, even though they're not doctors and therefore should not be offering prenatal care. And there is actually one instance of a California OBGYN who said that by the time a pregnant woman came to see her, this pregnant woman had diabetes, her blood sugar had spiked so high that it was dangerous to the baby and dangerous to the fetus. So it's a real problem. Pregnancy is a serious medical condition, and we have people all over the country playing fast and loose with medicine to advance a political agenda. But it's states like California that have tried to do something about that, and we will talk about those efforts and the legal fight they spawned in just a minute.
Okay, so in 2015, California passed the Reproductive Freedom, Accountability, Comprehensive Care, and Transparency, or FACT Act, and that's to protect pregnant Californians from the very kind of deceptive tactics we just talked about. The FACT Act imposes mandatory disclosure regulations on these anti-choice centers all throughout California, and there are a lot of them. There are 228 CPCs in California and only 44 abortion clinics.
So the FACT Act was enacted essentially to stop the rampant deceptive practices that CPCs were using to target vulnerable pregnant people. And I just want to stop for a minute and just really laud the California legislature for being able to shoehorn all of those words together to come up with the perfect acronym, the FACT Act. It's a really good acronym, but sometimes some of these legislatures go a little bit too far. Like, I was Googling this because I remember seeing an article about how ridiculous some of these acronyms are, and it turned out that Congress actually passed an acronym to deal with the acronyms.
So they passed, get the hell out. No,
they did. Stop they actually it. Did. They passed the Accountability and Congressional Responsibility on Naming Your Motions Act.
What? That is nonsense.
I know, it's ridiculous, but it cracks me up. At any rate, so the FACT Act was enacted to stop these deceptive practices. And since conservatives love targeting vulnerable people, Alliance Defending Freedom, which is essentially an anti-choice, anti-LGBT, pro-religion law firm mill, immediately sued on behalf of NIFLA, claiming that the law was a violation of their free speech and religious liberty.
It would probably be good to remind folks that ADF is the same folks that were claiming that baking a cake is speech, right?
Yes, Masterpiece Cake Shop.
They love to weaponize the First Amendment. So ADF is all over this stuff.
Yeah, and the tactics that they use are really deplorable, as we've already mentioned. I mean, these CPCs are masquerading as medical clinics, but in reality, they're just propaganda centers. They're targeting the most vulnerable among us. They're luring them away from actual abortion clinics into the clutches of these anti-choice extremists who literally will stop at nothing to make sure that they do not provide abortions, that the pregnant person does not get a referral to an abortion, and that the pregnant person maintains the pregnancy. They won't even offer an honest statement to the pregnant person that they're not licensed doctors and they're not equipped to provide medical care.
So I think this is a really important point and something that we should walk through again. Let's say a CPC has their clutches into me. I'm theirs. And I walk in and I just want to talk to someone who's going to tell me what my options are. What's going to happen? What can I expect?
So if I'm a CPC clinic worker, I'm going to be very ebullient about your prospective motherhood. I'm going to lie to you probably about how far along you are, again, to make it more likely that you're going to miss your abortion window. I'm going to feed you a bunch of crap about the dangers of abortion, about how it might lead to breast cancer or suicide ideation. I might lie to you and tell you that if you get an abortion, you're not going to be able to have kids in the future. I mean, that's a horrible thing to tell someone who may want children in the future, but who just doesn't want one now. Telling them that having an abortion is going to make them infertile? It's terrible. And that's the sort of guilt tripping that they'll do. They'll show you an ultrasound and point out its little fingers and toes and really humanize and anthropomorphize the fetus for you so that you feel really guilty about the decision that you've already made.
That's terrible. I mean, that's basically emotionally blackmailing folks into keeping a pregnancy that they may not be able to keep. I mean, it might be really medically dangerous, let alone the fact that it might just not be a viable option for them for a whole host of reasons. So even if I am like able to withstand that, I walk in thinking maybe I want an abortion. It's not going to happen, is it? No, I'm not. I'm not even going to get a referral for a place, am I?
Nope, not going to get that either.
I mean, that sucks. This is like really targeting people when they are sincerely in a point where we should be supporting them, not targeting them.
Exactly. And that's what the FACT Act is intended to fix. The whole point of the FACT Act is to make sure that the CPC clients or potential clients aren't deceived. You know, the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom Law Firm Mill, they're trying to make this a case about free speech rights and about religious liberty. But what it's really about is consumer protection. It's about truth in advertising. It's about being required to be honest about the services that you're providing to people.
Okay, so let's just give ADF for like a minutia here, a sliver of a doubt. What kind of draconian state-mandated pro-abortion speech does the California FACT Act require?
It's really quite alarming, Jessica. I mean, just listen to these things that California is trying to force.
I'm girding my loins.
If you're not licensed, California is going to force you to post a sign in your clinic saying that you're not licensed.
Not a sign.
A sign. Can you imagine a sign, Jessica?
This is outrageous.
The outrage. If you are licensed, or even if you're not licensed, you have to disseminate a notice to your clients that states that California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services. And those services include prenatal care and abortion for eligible women. And those notices must be in 13 languages. 13. That's a lot of languages.
So it sounds like it's effectively like the kind of work comp notice that employers post in their break rooms.
That's exactly what it is. So like you go into your company break room, you see the workers' comp notice, you see a notice about OSHA, you know, about safety and health at work. And no one is going to think that by putting up an OSHA sign, you're standing for labor, right? They're just thinking that, oh no, this is information that I need to provide to my employees. It's the same damn thing. It's just information that you need to provide to your clients. Your clients need to know that you're not a doctor.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if this is information that's anything beyond factual, right? I mean, it would be the equivalent of saying, hey, if you are at a certain income level, you qualify for Medicaid. That is a statement of fact. It is not some message of propaganda designed to get everybody and anybody an abortion. Although, if anybody and everybody needs an abortion, they should have it.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so these seem like pretty reasonable requirements. I mean, first of all, we're talking about some operations that are not even licensed and they're pretending to be healthcare centers. I mean, there's more regulation when you have to get your ears pierced at Claire's in the mall. That's ridiculous. It is. I mean, have you been to like Claire's Jewelry? Like they got to like clean stuff. I don't even know if an unlicensed center has to have like clean supplies. That's terrible.
Exactly.
And the violations, I mean, you know, so they're complaining about posting signs. And what's on the hook for them? Not very much, if I'm being completely honest, because violations of the law aren't really that steep. A first-time offense is going to cost you $500. That's it, $500. And it's $1,000 after that for any later violations. And there's also a notice period where you get a chance to, like, rectify your bad behavior.
Right. So essentially they're freaking out and keening and rending their garments over being forced to tell the truth and being penalized very slightly if they don't.
So naturally, the Alliance Defending Freedom has sued and turned this into a First Amendment case because that's what they do.
Ugh.
So first, they're claiming that requiring centers to post this sign with the phone number for the information about abortion services conflicts with their anti-abortion message.
Okay, first of all, how can we talk about the fact that these are places that are pretending to be medical centers that are just flat out saying we have an anti-abortion message, all the while they're advertising that they provide abortion services? That's really fucked up.
It is. It's as messed up as their claim that the law unfairly picks on them for their views because it applies only to groups opposed to abortion. And that's A, not true. Everybody has to post the notice. But B, the notice doesn't mean anything for actual honest reproductive health care centers because guess what? They are telling their patients of the full panoply of options that they have available to them. So there's no deception in the process.
Thank you. I was reading an article the other day from Ilya Shapiro. And he was, you know,
it's like
he was
a tick. I can't help myself.
I know. It's so hard, but God, it's just awful. So, of course, he was taking the ADF side. And he said something to the effect of, tellingly, California doesn't require abortion clinics to provide information about adoption. And I'm sitting here looking at him like a GIF blinking, like that white dude who's like blinking real fast. Because does he not understand that abortion clinics aren't in the business of trying to force people to get abortions? They're in the business of giving people their options. And one of the things that you're going to get in an abortion clinic is a counseling session where they make sure that abortion is what you want because they don't want to be performing abortions on people who are unsure or who are being coerced or who don't want them. And they're going to be telling you what your options are. If you don't want to raise a child, but you don't want to get an abortion, they're going to tell you about adoption. They're not trying to hide it.
I mean, there's really only one side here that's behaving unethically and with a lack of transparency, and it's the anti-choice community here. And, you know, the idea that, again, the California FACT Act is a consumer protection statute designed to get at disclosures and transparency in the consumer transaction of reproductive health care services is really important. This isn't anti-abortion propaganda. This is about protecting patients.
Yep. That's right. Basically, I'm going to say that ADF and these CPCs need to build a bridge and get over it because the FACT Act is a good law. CPCs are not being targeted. CPCs are not being forced to speak. They're just being told to provide information to people about the services that California offers and to tell them whether they're licensed or not. And what's really important here is that California designed this act specifically to address some of the concerns that other ordinances have faced in other cities. So, for example, Baltimore passed an ordinance a while back that was trying to get at this problem of CPCs lying to people. But in that case, they actually required the CPCs to affirmatively state that they do not provide abortion or contraception. And also, the law did not say that abortion clinics had to provide any sort of information. So in California, both licensed and unlicensed clinics have to provide this information. But in Baltimore, only the CPCs did. So they had a colorable argument that the law was targeting them. California was like, nope, we're not going to deal with that. We don't want to end up in court having to, of course, they ended up in court anyway, but they wanted to basically bulletproof this law as best as they could. And many legal critics, I would say most legal critics that I've read, think that this is a bulletproof law.
Yeah. And I mean, California did its homework, not just in terms of shoring up the legal argument, but really developing a record and getting all of the evidence of the deceptive advertising practices and the actual patient harm that CPCs inflict, particularly on the vulnerable populations like we've talked about. I mean, so what the arguments that ADF and the CPCs are making are really not only just much ado about nothing, but they depend on you believing out of the gates that abortion is a political issue and not a reproductive healthcare issue.
Precisely. And that's such an important point because oftentimes if you're arguing with anti-choicers on Twitter, for example, as I'm wont to do, they'll say, you know, well, abortion isn't healthcare. And they think that that ends the discussion. But abortion is healthcare. I mean, I don't even know how you look at what happens when you get an abortion and not say it's healthcare. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
Yeah. So basically, this should be an easy case. But of course, conservatives have muddied the waters, you know, claiming First Amendment protections and religious liberty. And so we're going to get into some of their ridiculous arguments after a quick break. So this is a big case. It's an important case. And as what often happens, there have been a lot of groups that have filed amicus briefs. Some of the amicus briefs are fairly absurd, and I want to highlight one of them in particular. Roy Moore, yes, our old friend Roy Moore, Mr. Ten Commandments, good old Mr. Ten Commandments in the courthouse, Mr. You can ignore the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage.
Mr. Lock up the pregnant ladies.
Mr. Hey, I can date 12-year-olds when I'm 30. That guy.
So he has an organization. Mall stands.
Oh my God. Roy Moore can't go to the mall, so he doesn't know what mall stands are. Oh, God. Roy Moore's disgusting. But what's really hilarious is that he has an organization, a foundation, and it's called the Foundation for Moral Law, or
FML.
FML. So
the FML Fuck My Life Foundation.
The Fuck My Life Foundation, exactly. I mean, it should be called the Fuck Your Life Foundation, because Roy Moore is looking to fuck up your life. But in the beginning pages of his brief, of the amicus brief that was filed by the FML organization, they make this argument that wouldn't it be horrible, for example, if you were forced to say nice things about Donald Trump and you didn't like Donald Trump, you didn't agree with his policies, but there was a law that said that you had to wake up every day and say, you know, I heart Donald Trump. Can we
just... Yeah, that would be terrible.
It would be terrible.
Unconstitutional.
And so unconstitutional. I mean, I can't with these people. Can we get someone to explain to them, perhaps you, Jessica, the difference between commercial and political speech?
Sure, I am happy to do that, because what a ridiculous argument. So commercial speech, it's almost exactly what it sounds like. Commercial speech is a legal term of art that means speech, so anything that's written or said, and it exists in the commercial context. So advertising, for example, the kind of communications that one does when selling goods or services like, oh, I don't know, reproductive health care. Meanwhile, political speech is just that. It's speech that conveys a political message. And typically, political speech gets a lot more First Amendment protection than commercial speech does. And there's a lot of obvious reasons, I think, for that. I mean, we don't want the government dictating a particular message or agenda like the Fuck My Life Foundation suggests, right?
Right.
Sorry. The Foundation of Moral Law.
Right.
Meanwhile, yes, very clear on that,
yeah.
You know, but businesses also can't just say whatever they want to try and push their goods or services. They can't flat out lie to consumers about what they're peddling. And so the government then has a legitimate interest, as far as the law is concerned, in making sure that commercial speech isn't full of lies. So it gives the government more power to regulate it.
And I just think it's really amusing to me that in Roy Moore's, or in the FML's world, abortion is as loathsome as Donald Trump. Now, I don't think it is. I think abortion is a societal good, and I think that it's a human right, and every person who needs one should get one. But we're talking about Roy Moore here.
As opposed to Donald Trump, who is absolutely not
a
societal good.
Couldn't be less of a societal good. But, you know, from the standpoint of Roy Moore and those folks love Donald Trump, and those folks hate abortion. And I just really like this idea that in their mind, abortion is equivalent to Donald Trump. Like, what bubble are they living in? I don't understand it.
So here, ADF and conservatives are trying to say that the California law targets political speech because the sign forces them to convey a pro-abortion message by simply saying that California has, it's one of its services, low cost and affordable abortions for folks who qualify.
Yeah, and all that the sign has to say on it isn't that. Like, the sign doesn't say, hey, if you need an abortion, you can call California. All it says is, we have all of these publicly funded services, including abortion, prenatal care, and contraception. So this notion that clinics are being forced to convey a pro-abortion message is just nonsense. Another really ridiculous argument that conservatives have been making is that because CPCs offer these services free of charge, and again, remember, they may be offering the services free of charge, but they are backed by a lot of big Christian money. So they're
and taxpayer dollars.
And taxpayer dollars. So the argument is, since they're offering these services free of charge, it's not really a big deal if they lie to their clients, which obviously makes no sense, because the people who are using these free services are the people who are vulnerable, who are being targeted by this nonsense. So what they're basically saying is that it's okay to lie and to screw over poor people.
And you don't get to decide that your corporate entity gives you a license to lie to folks. And it's really important in the social services context, because it's not like this is just going to be left up to abortion and reproductive health care services. A lot of these organizations have offshoots into doing things like so-called conversion therapy and you know, promote that kind of really harmful therapy and quote unquote care as well. And so if they're going to try and argue the right to lie in one context, we know they're going to try and argue the right to lie in another.
And I also just think it's really amusing that, considering anti-choicers never shut up about how much they hate abortion, the one place that they don't want to talk about how much they hate abortion is in a clinic.
I mean, why thank you for that? Saying that. It's ridiculous. They will harass patients on their way to an actual legitimate healthcare clinic, get in their face, try and put literature there, you know, tell them horrible things. I mean, you know, Rewire has a great documentary, Caring Chaos, that shows you this in action. Meanwhile, when they are posing as healthcare providers, nope, mum's a word. It's the first time that they actually shut their yaps.
Oh, it's so freaking, it's just really irritating. And I think one thing we have to talk about is just the hypocrisy when it comes to informed consent laws, right? So a lot of states have informed consent laws that require women to go through this counseling period so that the state can be assured that no one is coercing this person to get into getting an abortion and that the person has all the information they need. Unfortunately, all of the information they need tends to be bullshit. It tends to be the same sort of lies that CPCs tell their patients or their clients, since they can't be patients because they're not doctors. So they'll say stuff like, you know, you'll get breast cancer, suicide ideation, you'll be infertile, you'll probably get a drug abuse problem. Every time you hear a vacuum cleaner, you're going to have a freak out. I mean, these are just ridiculous lies, but they're okay when doctors are forced to say these things to pregnant women. But when they are forced to just put up a sign saying, hey, you can get these services over here, and by the way, we're not licensed, that's going too far.
Well, and hopefully the federal courts won't be as split on this issue, right? So we've seen them uphold some of these mandatory disclosure laws in places like South Dakota and Texas, but we also saw them strike North Carolina. So the possibility of a good ruling in the Becerra case as a pathway to challenge other laws, maybe we might actually get that. I mean, you know, I think it's worthwhile to have a little bit of hope after Whole Woman's Health.
Yeah, I think Whole Woman's Health was a really big boon to our movement, to people who are repro rights activists, repro justice activists, because it demonstrated that years and years of hard work can actually turn into this amazing, you know, golden Supreme Court ruling that basically is going to make it very difficult for states to continue to roll back access, or at least it's going to make them look even harder at more ridiculous ways to roll back access. And you know what? I have faith in states that they're going to be able to do that, because if there's one thing that states like to do, it's restrict abortion access.
And another really important lesson to take out of the Whole Woman's Health decision is that evidence matters. And here, California's homework could very well pay off for it in the way that it crafted the law and has responded to it. Oral arguments are March 20th, and the case will be there. We'll have coverage for it, and we will let you know what the court decides when it decides.
So don't touch that dial, even though it's not a radio, it's a podcast.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much, as always, for listening and for subscribing. And I don't know what to say. Imani, you're better at this shit than I am.
I think you nailed it. You got everything in there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Please leave us reviews. We only have one this week and think we're just going to wait until next week. And hopefully we'll have a couple more. And
don't forget to join us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. Facebook. Join our Facebook group. We'll keep the conversation going there. You can find us on Twitter, hashtag Boom Lawyered, hashtag Team Legal.
At Angry Black Lady, at Hegemommy, Hegemommy. Just find us on all of the things and say hello or ask us your questions.
See you on the tubes.
Thanks for listening. Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Imani Gandhi and Jessica Mason Piclo. The show is produced by Nora Hurley. Our executive producer is Mark Folletti. And Rewire's editor-in-chief is Jody Jacobson.